We have got to get out more, out into God's world, but that means we got to know that God is with us. So here's the verse for today. Here's the thought I want to invite you and that I want to take into this day. It's from the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua's getting ready to lead the people into the land that God has promised them, the beginning of this grand adventure. And after telling Joshua to keep this book of the law on your lips always, to meditate on it day and night so you're prepared to do what it is, to become the kind of person that God wants, then God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid. Now, this is God's word to you today. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, that's the maker of heaven and earth, your God, not just the God, your God, will be with you. Wherever you go, you are not alone. That's your word to take into the world today. And I want to talk about that some using Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. So here we go to the overhead cam. Jonathan Haidt talks about two basic orientations towards life. The technical term is the behavior activation system. That's when you see an opportunity and so your behavior is activated. You think, oh, I got to plunge forward into this. You are flooded with positive emotions. You're scanning for opportunities. You're like a kid in a candy store. You think for yourself. Your basic desire or thought is, I want to grow, I want to learn, I want to engage deeply. So that's discovery mode. And then the other basic orientation is the behavior inhibition system. And he calls it defend. I'm going to change that just slightly. That's the danger mode. That's when everything inside you is saying, oh, this is trouble. This is a problem. I can't handle this. You're scanning for danger. It involves a scarcity mindset, clinging to your team. Keep me safe. I want to get me out of here. Scotty, beam me up. And part of what Jonathan Haidt writes about is that since what he calls the great rewiring, the tendency of human beings to live much more of our lives now online, on screens, than in the real world with real people in real time. We are overprotecting, particularly children or young people, overprotecting them in the real world and underprotecting them in the online world. And we are increasingly creating generations of people who are living from day to day in danger mode. And I think about a classic picture of this is in the book of Numbers when Moses sends out 12 spies, including Joshua, to look at the land that God has promised to his people. And Joshua and Caleb come back and they are in discovery mode. Their behavior activation system has been activated. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. And we can surely do this. And the other 10 see precisely the same situation, but their response is, now we got to go back to Egypt. We cannot do this. There's danger here. We must go backwards. So the invitation today, be into discovery mode. Be strong and very courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jonathan Haidt asked this question, in what age were you given freedom? How old were you when your parents let you walk alone to a friend's home, at least a quarter mile away, let you and your friends go on your own to a park or shops with no supervision? He says, I've asked this question to dozens of audience, and the response is very interesting. First, he says, I ask everybody who was born before 1981 to raise their hands and recall what was their age of liberation. Nearly everybody shouts out 6 or 7 or 8. And Haidt says it's sometimes hard for him to continue because they're having such a good time talking and laughing about their adventures and experiences when they could grow out and nobody knew who they were. And one of you listening to me right now knows how much you love that moment. And then he says he asks everybody who was born in 1996 or later, those folks are sometimes called Gen Z folks, to talk about when did they experience liberation. And he said the majority fall between the ages of 10 and 12, and some as late as 13 and 14, so that it is a stark, stark difference. Now, going on, he talks about how this fits with research about parenting, and he cites a sociologist, Annette Leroux, who wrote a book called Unequal Childhoods, about how there are now kind of two basic parenting philosophies by American parents. The first, she calls concerted cultivation, is the dominant model used by families in the middle and upper classes. It begins with the premise that children require an extraordinary degree of care and training by adults. Parents must buy baby Einstein videos to raise their children's IQs. Even the researchers later showed that such videos are worthless. In fact, I will tell you who did not grow up watching baby Einstein videos, and that would be baby Einstein. Einstein himself, who, according to a number of biographies, did not begin to speak until he was 3 or 4 years old. His parents were actually concerned that there was this delayed development. Is our boy going to be, you know, a little Einstein? Anecdotally, supposedly, the first word he ever spoke was, "This soup is too hot." Like he decided to wait until he could speak in whole sentences before he would start talking, or had been reading Goldilocks or something. He caught up and did okay. She writes that the other kind of parenting philosophy is what's called natural growth parenting. Kids will be kids, and if you let them be, they will turn into competent and responsible adults without hand-holding. Interestingly enough, that kind of natural growth parenting is becoming less and less and less prominent, probably because of another dynamic that Haidt talks about that he calls safetyism. And I want to read a little bit from this. And again, behind all of this is the invitation for you this day, and then as you think about children, young people in your life, to remember the need to live in discovery mode, which inevitably involves risk. So let me read this and then I'll come back to that. The Australian psychologist Nick Haslam originated the term concept creep, which refers to the expansion of psychological concept in recent decades, downward in the trivial examples, or outward to encompass more and more. You can see concept creep in action by looking at the way that we have expanded the use of terms like addiction, trauma, abuse, safety. And safety, here's where it's particularly important. Do I find my safety in circumstances that cannot hurt me, or do I find my safety in the God who comes with me into those circumstances? God's comment to Joshua is not, be strong and very courageous, because there's not really much of a challenge before you. I will send you into a place that's real safe where you will not experience it. No. Be strong and very courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Haidt goes on to write, in The Coddling of the American Mind, Greg, his co-author, and I found the concept of safety had undergone such extensive concept creep among Gen Z and many of the educators and therapists around them that it had become a pervasive and unquestionable value. We use the term safetyism to refer to a culture or belief system in which safety has become a sacred value, which means that people become unwilling to make trade-offs demanded by other practical and even moral concerns. Safety trumps everything else, no matter how unlikely or trivial the potential danger. Students who had been raised with safetyism on the playground sometimes expected it to govern their classrooms, dorms, and campus events. And he cites a cartoon from, I think it was the New Yorker, where a classroom teacher is talking with a couple of parents while kids are doing very safe things in the room. And the comment is, we've created a safe, non-judgmental environment that will leave your child ill-prepared for life. Because actually, it's by navigating a world that is filled with risk and uncertainty and problems and challenges and bringing God into that with us, that we are brought to the point where we're able to say together with the Apostle Paul, I can face anything, whatever is going on in my world, whatever it is. What can separate me from the love of God? Danger, sword, nakedness, peril? Nope. I can face it all through Christ who strengthens me. So, the invitation today is to live today in discover mode. To be, as Joshua and Caleb were, people who are ready to face now, not necessarily a geographical piece of land, but a chronological unit this day with all of its uncertainty. Anxiety feeds on uncertainty. And the removal of all uncertainty would mean the cessation of life. So I don't ask for that. What I seek to do is say, God, would you come with me? Would you help me to get out more? And would you go into that place with me? So today, take the risk. Act in love. Seek to give. Be curious. Right now, take a deep breath. Sit up straight. Shoulders back, head high. Plunge into conversation today. And as I say these words to you, I say them to me. Be strong. Be very courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. We got to get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.